2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/Lisa to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/Lisa.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
So I was on X one day and I came across this clip. Listen.
I think that the media really, really wants to put this narrative out there that Biden is going to lose Michigan over Gaza, when the truth is he's going to lose Michigan over 600,000 auto workers, because his EV market was extremely punishing to auto workers. And like we said earlier, there's been this big realignment where working class Americans are very, very, very much on the Trump train, people who used to be Democrats and used to vote for Democrats. And rather than admit that, this outrage that Democrats lost the working class vote, and try to figure out how we can appeal to them again, they're looking for excuses and other things to blame, like, oh, this war in Gaza, or they'll call them deplorables, or they'll call them racists, you know, because they don't want to admit that Trump has picked up a lot of the policies that used to be Democratic policies in the 90s, like controlling the border, for example. The idea that an open border and mass migration is extremely punishing to the working class. It drives down their wages. It's class warfare against the working class. It is an upward transfer of wealth from the working class, who end up competing with immigrants, to the elites, who end up employing them, and now they can employ cheap immigrants instead of having to pay working class Americans a living wage.
So that was Batya Ungar-Sargon. She's the opinion editor of Newsweek. She is also the author of the new book, Second Class, How the Elites Betrayed America's Working Men and Women. So today we're going to have her on the show and we're going to ask her, who are the nation's elites? How did they sell out the working class? And what does that mean for the 2024 presidential election? This is a really interesting conversation. She is very smart and this is an incredible book. She took the time to go around the country and to speak with so many working class voters and Americans, from housekeepers to healthcare aides to cops, truck drivers, fast food workers, electricians, the list goes on. You're not going to want to miss this conversation. Stay tuned for Batya. So Batya, congratulations. Your book is out. I know it's been a labor of love. It sounds like you put so much work into it. So congratulations. And I'm really looking forward to digging into it.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me, Lisa. It's such a thrill to be here with you.
Well, I saw your clip that made the rounds after Real Time and I reached out to you and I was like, I got to have you on my show. We need to talk about this subject. And then, you know, we had talked about when to have you on when the book was out so that we could fully engage in it. So I'm looking forward to what was the reaction after Real Time? You know, did you think Democrats realize that, you know, they have a problem with working voters?
I actually think they do. And what's amazing to watch is that the liberal media, which is always trying to protect them from realizing this, is trying to run the same playbook that they ran in 2016 when they just called everybody who voted for Trump racist. But it's really falling flat because Trump is now polling so well with Hispanic voters and even with Black voters. And so that playbook they have, where they use race as a smokescreen for class to distract from the ways in which the Democrats abandoned the working class, it's just not working. working this time around. And that's really amazing to see. I feel like we've really made strides as a nation in terms of recognizing how much we've betrayed the working class on both sides. Thanks to Trump, in large part, we're able to see that now. So it's a little bit different. And I think, you know, as a result, the reaction to the Bill Maher clips were pretty positive, I felt, even from people who were sort of center left.
When did Trump's message start resonating with you personally?
I had the Trump derangement syndrome. I'm so embarrassed to admit it now, but I did for like at least 2 years. I really was in that headspace. And it really started to shift for me in 2018 and 2019. And it's one of those things where when you start to see it, especially if you're on the left, your initial reaction is like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Because, you know, hating Trump is a sort of card of entree to the left. And if you lose that, you sort of can no longer be a member in good standing. So it started to shift for me around 2018, 2019. And then after the 2020 election, you know, when you started to see really in real time, the devastating impact of the Democrats' economic policy on the working class, just seeing that develop and cascade, the open border, the inflation, the ridiculous climate agenda, all of this is really class warfare against the working class. It's a plunder of the middle class by the over-credentialed college elites. When I started to really see that and understand just what Donald Trump had done to sort of try to stop that hemorrhaging, then it really sunk in.
And so I guess that led you to writing this book that we're about to get into, Second Class, How the Elites Betrayed America's Working Men and Women. I guess who would you specify as the ones who betrayed America's working men and women?
It was really both parties, I would say. But of course, the old version, the pre-Trump version of the Republican Party never made any pretense to representing labor and the working class. So the betrayal was sort of a lot less deep. The Democrats were once the party of the working class and still pretend to be. And actually, it was their policies. So Bill Clinton signing NAFTA into law and shipping 5 million good working class jobs overseas to build up the middle class in China and Mexico. Barack Obama showing up and saying those jobs aren't coming back. If you don't go to college, you don't deserve the American dream. And then Joe Biden coming in and opening the border to further devalue the jobs that remain by importing 12 million slaves, cartel slaves, basically, to compete with American working class people. You know, those were really, each of those is a huge, huge betrayal of people who used to be the Democrats' base. So that was sort of, you know, front and center in my mind. Although, of course, the GOP, which was once, you know, the party of, you know, the country clubs and free trade and the Chamber of Commerce, tax cuts, you know, as the only thing that they care about, also is a huge betrayal of the working class. And, you know, Lisa, when I see you on Fox, you are so good on this. I'm always sitting there cheering you on when you're on Outnumbered, because you make this point so often, which is that, you know, if the GOP wants to remain competitive, they simply cannot go back to the, you know, Nikki Haley version of the party. The party now is the party that Trump made, and that upsets the elites on both sides, right? Because he's speaking directly to the voter base and sort of circumventing the Republican donor base.
Well, that's very kind, and I very much enjoy watching you when you're on TV. You're so smart, and you always make really eloquent points. Why do you think, I guess I'm curious, and how do you think, what led to Democrats sort of becoming this party of the coastal elites? I mean, you just look at the climate policies, right? I mean, you were talking about this on Real Time, about how Joe Biden's push for electric vehicles is going to crush working voters, particularly in states like Michigan. So I guess what led them to that point? You know, how do you think they arrived at that point, I guess?
So it's a great question, because a lot of these policies were both the cause of, but also the result of, a shift in orientation in the Democratic Party away from the working class and towards the college educated, the suburban, the urban voter. The Democrats are now this weird amalgamation of, you know, the top 10-20% in terms of income, who have these sort of degrees upon degrees upon degrees, which they get from these prestigious universities where they learn to sneer at the working class. but also the poor. The Democrats also represent the poor. So what they have is, you know, all of their policies are, I say, class warfare against the working class, because they are designed to put money in the pockets of the college educated elites, but also the dependent poor who don't work, both of whom are in competition with the working class, or whose interests are in tension with the working class. Why this happened was we had a great sorting where a lot of liberal-minded people left the sort of middle of America and migrated to big cities and to the coasts. They increasingly got college degrees, and they were increasingly ensconced in very tight bubbles of only other like-minded people. And so when you have a lot of people going to college, what they do there is, our universities are no longer really institutions of education, particularly the humanities and the social sciences. The thing they really do is inculcate a sense of elitism and a sense of privilege in the people who go there, who see themselves as on the right side of history and as much better people than the people who don't go to college. They learn a contempt for the working class, because when you spend $100,000 and you're not getting an education, what you are getting is status. That's what the university system confers. So you suddenly had a lot of people who were going to these universities feeling like they were better than everybody else. They got this status, access to this network of other people who thought that they were much better than everybody who didn't go to college. And that elitism created a sense of, we should tell everybody else how to live. We should get to rule. We have essentially right now an oligarchy of the credentialed. Obama was big on this. He wanted to be only surrounded by people who had gone to Harvard or Yale and Princeton. And they believe that they should be able to tell the working class not only how to live, but what to believe. And we're seeing right now a mass revolt against that. But effectively, because in their minds, they developed contempt for labor and for the working class and for people who don't have a college degree, they also created an economy that works really well for them, because they don't see working class jobs as worthy of dignity. Therefore, they created an economy that also devalued those jobs economically.
That's such a good point. And then even when, you know, when you said the word status, it even came to my mind, you know, how the left really has this sort of like victimhood class, and it's like transgender this, black, you know, it's like all these different groups, and being in those groups sort of give you, you know, some element of status. So, you know, that kind of just popped to my mind. Just for clarification purposes, how would you define the working class in America?
So this is definitely something I struggled with.
Right. That's what I was thinking. I was like,
it's
really
hard. The whole introduction is my sort of attempt to do that with examples. So the book has, there's a lot of data in it, but every piece of data, you have a person, a character, a narrative, a story that exemplifies that data point. You know, there's a lot of ways to define it. Some people say it's whether your father had a college degree. Some people say whether it's you have a college degree. Somebody say it's whether you make, you know, under $100,000 a year. Some people say it's whether you make, you know, the median income, which is about $60,000 a year for a household. There are many ways to define it. I believe that the real divide in America is this class divide that separates out the college educated from the working class. If you have a college degree, you have access to a much more stable existence and probably the American dream. Not everyone, of course, but by and large, college-educated Americans make about $1 million more over the course of their career than a person without a college degree. They have better health, they live longer, and they're not beset by the plagues of working class life, who are often the victims of crime or overdoses, deaths of despair, and just downward mobility, as we've seen over the last 50 years. So to me, the definition that I ended up with was a working class person is somebody who works in an industry that does not require a skill set you learn in college, who has been locked out of the top 20%. So I'm not talking about rich people. We all know, you know, plumbers and electricians who've made it, you know, make more money than I do, right? And God bless them, right? God bless this country. I'm talking about people who are, you know, make under $125,000 a year, let's say, who are working in a job that does not require a college degree.
Let's take a quick commercial break, and then more on how the elites sold out the working class. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. You could be one of them, sitting in the dark and cold for hours, for days, maybe even weeks. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be. With the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X, folks say this new solar generator from Four Patriots is worth its weight in gold. Why? Because this generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Or other devices like an electric blanket, microwave, RV air conditioner, or even an electric wheelchair. You also get 12 outlets, including 4 AC outlets so you can power more devices at once, and 2 USB-C outlets, which can charge your phone 20 times faster than a regular plug. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/Lisa to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/Lisa.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What I love that you did about this book and what I really want to dig into is you talk to people. You know, I mean, I think part of the problem with the media today is like, you know, even just moving, you know, I'm not from New York, but I lived there for a little while before moving to Florida. And even on like the vaccine issue, it was such a radically different environment. You know, I didn't get the vaccine, the COVID, and like in New York, it's like, you're evil. You're basically a terrorist at that point for not to, and then in Florida, it's like, no one care. Right. So it's like, even that is enlightening. And just, you know, being in a totally different environment. And so I think the problem is the media lives in these bubbles in New York and DC. It's not real world. It's not real life. So you went around the country, you know, talking to people, learning, hearing from them. Tell us about, you know, that. Where did you go? Who did you meet? And what did you learn from that?
Oh, wow. I went all over. I went to California a number of times. I went to Phoenix. I went to Denver. I went to Houston. I went to Florida a bunch of times. I spent a lot of time in Ohio. I also interviewed people from Alaska and West Virginia. I also spent a lot of time, you know, talking to people here in the New York area. And what I found is, first of all, there's a huge consensus in the working class about what policies they want, and that's whether they're Democrats or Republicans. I mean, they basically agree on the policy they want. Polarization is a completely elite phenomenon. Working class people are so totally not polarized because neither party really represents their interests. And so it would never occur to them to hate somebody who had a different opinion on abortion, although they by and large agree on abortion as well. Most working class Americans are extremely tolerant. That tolerance comes both from the nature of this country, which is finally made good on the promises of our founding, but also just from the precariousness. When you have a life that is beset by precarity, where every mistake you make sends you off the path into, you know, real, real precariousness, and you don't know where you're going to be, you know, sleeping the next night. People like that are not judgmental at all. They have extreme amounts of
more important things to think about.
That's 100% the case. That's 100% the case. And here's another thing that I found. The American dream, where it is still alive for working class Americans, it's much more feasible in red America than blue America simply because of the cost of housing. So if we define the American dream as, you know, owning a home, children being, you know, having slightly better opportunities than you do, having access to good health care. And by the way, this is how working class Americans define it, and a retirement and dignity. that piece, the first piece, a home, owning your own home, has become all but impossible for working class Americans living in blue America. Because even though the wages are slightly higher, the cost of housing is just exponentially higher. I mean, it's just totally unaffordable. Whereas you can be pretty poor in West Virginia and still own your own home. And so from that point of view, there really is more opportunity, I would say, if you're defining home ownership as a key part of the American dream, which most working class Americans do.
Do you think, and talking to those people in, you know, blue America, you know, working voters in blue America, is there a understanding that perhaps leftist policies are part of the reason why they're in that state? Like, or not obviously in that state, but more of the, you know, why they're in that position, the financial position?
Yeah, I mean, especially immigration, which to any working class person is an economic concern, right? Immigration is a proxy for like the devaluation of working class jobs, right? So to them, immigration is an economic question. To the elites, of course, it's a sort of cultural question. You know, oh, we must welcome immigrants here, or whatever. So that is very obvious to them that the leftist policies are screwing them over. I will say, you know, the number one reason I think that there is not more, even more defection. There's a lot of defection of working class people from Democrats to Republicans. I think the reason there isn't even more is because, healthcare is extremely important and people don't feel that it is affordable or accessible. And they never hear Republicans addressing this issue, but they do hear Democrats addressing it. If the Republicans came up with a good healthcare plan, just some way to relieve some of the burden and anxiety, to make people feel like they're not going to go bankrupt over their health after they spent their lives working physical jobs to sustain this society, they would be unstoppable because, of course, they have the immigration piece.
Yeah. But I mean, I think, you know, Democrats pretty much own today's healthcare state, you know, after Obamacare. In talking to people and then looking ahead at the 2024 election, did that shape sort of how you think the selection could go down in those conversations? You know, where do you think the folks you talk to are going to end up on election day or heading into election day? Because now we have mail-in balloting like super early and all that stuff.
I spoke to a lot of Obama, Trump people who are definitely still Trump people. I did speak to a number of people who really don't like Trump's personality but are going to vote for him because, I mean, there was no one I spoke to who didn't feel like they were better off in 2018, financially, from a safety point of view, in terms of the country. The people that had ambivalent feelings about Trump, it was because they felt that he was sort of giving the working class a bad name by being such a good proxy for what they were looking for. But in terms of just policy, there was very little debate about which president had put more money in their pockets, and it was definitely Donald Trump. And so that's definitely impacted how I think about the coming election. You never know how things are going to go. You never know what people are going to be thinking when they go into the voting booth. But it's very hard for me to imagine Trump losing if I'm just going based off the reporting I did in my book.
You know, you reference, you know, healthcare and immigration. If you kind of had to pick the top three issues that you heard the most consistently from folks, you know, how would you lay them out?
So number one was the economy. I mean, groceries are up 18%. People living on a shoestring budget, even people who are not poor, it's unforgivable. I mean, it's unforgivable. It is plunder of the middle class. And so that was definitely the top issue, was inflation, people having to make choices about how many nights a week they could afford to feed their children chicken or meat or, you know, devastating stuff like that. Immigration was a top concern. And, you know, immigration as a proxy for good jobs, jobs that pay a living wage, a sense that if you work and work and work your butt off, there is a sense that the country is going to look out for you and give you the modest fixings of a middle-class life. I mean, that's all they want, is the most modest things that, you know, we in the elites totally take for granted. And then the third thing I would say is feeling like, you know, that they were going to be able to have a dignified life if they got sick, when they got old, when their, you know, aching bones could no longer do the backbreaking work that they spent their careers doing. And so I would say, you know, if I would put it, you know, I would say economy, immigration, and healthcare.
You know, I guess dig in a little bit, you know, you had talked about, you know, because obviously there's a lot of focus on, you know, Michigan and, you know, you look at the uncommitted vote in Michigan against Joe Biden, particularly in Dearborn, Michigan, which he had lost to. You know, and you know, there's been a lot of talk that he could potentially lose Michigan because of his support for, you know, Hamas, basically, if you just want to call it out what it is. But you had made the point, you know, no, it's his push for electric vehicles. It's, you know, the auto workers in the state. How big of an issue do you think the electric vehicle push is for, you know, working Americans?
Huge, absolutely huge. It's such a good example of how people who live in blue bubbles, where, by the way, 75% of journalists live, and, you know, where if everybody around you lives in an urban setting and they only need their car to drive 12 blocks to Whole Foods, right? Of course, you think everybody wants a little Chinese electric car, right? But rural voters, I mean, what are they going to do with an electric car? You know, they don't have an hour in the middle of the day to sit there while it, you know, fills up with electricity. Who's going to pay for that hour of their time? And, you know, they're driving much further. They need their cars for work. And, you know, it's just such a perfect encapsulation of the cluelessness of leftist elites about how, like, the rest of the country is actually operating. That's from the consumer's point of view, Lisa. But from the producer's point of view, we know that it takes a third of the amount of time on the line to produce an EV that it does to produce a gas car, meaning that obviously, this is going to be a major hit to the auto industry, which used to be like the pride and joy of the United States. And now, of course, China is threatening to open a factory in Mexico so that they can get around the tariffs on Chinese cars. This is all stuff that is just totally lost on the Democrats, who are catering to a college-educated base, and totally obvious to working-class people the way that it is to Trump. So to me, I look at Michigan, I don't see 200,000, you know, Muslim Americans. I see 600,000 auto workers who know what this whole EV market scam is going to do to their bottom line. Only 4% of people in America vote on foreign policy. It's a really tiny percentage. And then you have to keep in mind that Trump, I mean, whatever you think of Joe Biden, if these people feel like he's not pro-Hamas enough, like, Trump is much more pro-Israel than Biden ever was. So, you know, the idea that they're going to vote for the more pro-Israel candidate based on foreign policy, I think is nonsense. And in fact, a lot of the people who are voting uncommitted are saying they're going to vote for Donald Trump. So to me, this looks like there's working class Arabs and they need an excuse to defect to Donald Trump, and they're using Gaza. I mean, I'm sure they care about it deeply, which, by the way, is their God-given right as an American to vote on whatever they want. But to me, that is a sort of media fantasy that Biden is going to lose over something the media cares about, which is the Middle East. It's nonsense. I mean, the American working class is not going to vote on the Middle East.
Quick break. More with Batya. Two-thirds of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. You could be one of them. Sitting in the dark and cold for hours, for days, maybe even weeks. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be. With the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X, folks say this new solar generator from Four Patriots is worth its weight in gold. Why? Because this generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Or other devices like an electric blanket, microwave, RV air conditioner, or even an electric wheelchair. You also get 12 outlets, including 4 AC outlets so you can power more devices at once, and 2 USB-C outlets, which can charge your phone 20 times faster than a regular plug. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/Lisa to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/Lisa.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, deputy opinion editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You had said carelessness before. Do you think it's carelessness from Joe Biden on these policies, or is it with intent? Because, I mean, it's hard to imagine he doesn't understand the level of destruction that this could wage against the auto industry.
It's a great question. I think it's very similar to immigration, right? You look at this and you just think, like, you know, I'm sure we're all sitting here thinking the same thing for 4 years. Why doesn't he just close the border? It's so easy. Trump created, with three executive actions, he created the playbook that is completely effective. Like, why doesn't Biden just do it? I think there's a number of reasons. The Democratic Party, you know, each party has its sort of donor class. The Democratic Party's donor class is very beholden to this sort of NGO network of college-educated people combined with billionaires, all of whom have the same sort of vanity morals, which always end up coming at the expense of the working class. But, you know, if these are your funders, these are your donors, you don't have a lot of leeway to say, actually, you know, we're going to care about the American working class instead of about the climate, because these people are obsessed with climate, just like they're obsessed with the kind of open borders and a lawlessness and the decarceral state and getting criminals out of prison. These are the values you pick up at the university, and it is their religion. So for Biden to say, actually, I'm going to go back to you know, the roots of the Democratic Party, it would be very, very difficult for him to do that, not because I think of the left flank, but because of who the donor class to the Democrats is.
You know, so the left tries to paint Donald Trump as, you know, he's out of touch. He's a billionaire. And sometimes those attacks, you know, work against, you know, Republicans from the left, although they make money off the backs of us while they're in office. But anyways, why do you think Donald Trump has been able to resonate with working voters, despite the fact that, you know, look, he's a billionaire, which is great. I want to be a billionaire. I want everyone else to be one, too. You know, I want us all to be rich. But why do you think he's been able to resonate with so many people?
I'll tell you what a gay nurse, certified nurse's aide in Florida, told me. She said he can't be bought, and I heard that a lot. There's a lot of skepticism about that from left wing elites, but I don't know how you look at, for example, the Republican primary and not see that that's basically what happened. I mean, the entire donor class turned on Trump to support Nikki Haley, and it didn't move the needle for her at all. When Trump came into office, he took on both sides. He took on both parties. He took on the orthodoxy. There was basically a handshake agreement between left and right about, you know, free trade, for example. And he said, we're not going to have free trade. We're going to have a trade war with China. We're going to have tariffs on steel and aluminum. Like, he just got it. He had this sort of very intuitive sense that the entire 70% of the country that is sort of in the reasonable middle had been abandoned by both sides. And it's so funny because there's so much distraction around Donald Trump, the man. But if you just look at his policies, Donald Trump is the consensus candidate that Joe Biden promised he was going to be. I mean, he's a total centrist on everything. He looks more like a kind of, you know, mid-century Democrat than he does like a Republican. He believes in, you know, a protectionist economy, protectionist trade policies, policing the border to protect working class people. He's courting union workers. He's courting black voters. He's believes in a 15-week abortion. It should be legal for 15 weeks. Like, this is where 70% of Americans are at. This used to be where the Democratic Party was. And he sort of realized that there was nobody in that reasonable center and made a beeline for it, but it involved taking on really the orthodoxies and the elites on both sides. And I think that really came through to the working class.
Yeah, when you said I can't be bought, it took me back to the GOP primaries heading into the 2016 election. Well, one, the only Rosie O'Donnell, which is like still like the best line ever. And then also, and I love Megyn Kelly, so that's not a knock to her. It's just was hilarious response. And then I can't remember who we had donated to, but I think someone was bringing up like, oh, you've given money to Nancy Pelosi or whatever. And he was like, oh, yeah, because she can be bought. Like, you know what I was like? And I think people at home were like, yeah, all right, that checks out. That makes sense. All right. That's what it took me back to.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that there is really, you know, I understand why people are skeptical when you say that about somebody. But it's obvious from the way that he governed that he was not thinking about anybody except what he wanted to see happen. He did ease up a little bit on immigration towards the end. And there were some sort of people in the commentariat class saying it's because Wall Street was sort of urging him to. But in 2020, Joe Biden got more money from Wall Street than Donald Trump did. Wall Street loves an open border because, of course, it's great for their bottom line, for the same reason that when you turn on leftist liberal cable news, they're always talking about how great the economy is. It's really good if you have a stock portfolio. You know, it's really good if you own property because it's, you know, the economy is doing really well for that sort of top, for the elites, basically. And that's thanks to all these policies that Donald Trump was trying to undo.
Well, he also said they're not sending their best. And I think people are realizing that now as we have potential terrorists, gang members. I saw that there was like a ninjas from Chile that are have a burglary rings now. I was reading about in Oakland County. It's like, we're freaking, like, what in the hell? Like Russian mobsters is reading. They're like, it's like, why, you know, it's insane that we're letting these people into our country. Well, before we go, why do you think immigration specifically resonates so much with working voters?
So in 1971, which was the high water mark for working class wages, right after that, they began to stagnate and then basically just fall. In 1971, the share of the population that was foreign born was 4%. And today it is 15%. And this really gets left out of the conversation. You know, I don't have anything against immigrants personally. This is what working class people would say to me. They'd say, I don't have anything against them personally. I understand people who want the American dream for their children. But it's so obvious to the working class that other people are getting the American dream and they are not. And there seems to be so much forbearance for these people and nothing for them. And they know that when you import 15 million people in 4 years and they're all going to be working in certain industries, of course, it is obvious that that is going to drive down the wages in those industries. I mean, it's the most obvious supply and demand. And so that really for them is a proxy for the devaluation of their jobs and their hard work, even though they're working harder than they ever have before. That, I think, is why it's so important to them. You know, to the elites, immigration, they pretend that immigration is about morality, but it's not. It's really about economics. And bringing in these migrants, it puts money in the pockets of the rich, and it is simply wage theft from the American working class, and they know it.
Well, we're going to end on that because that was really well said. I think a super important point. Second class, how the elites betrayed America's working men and women. Really interesting stuff. Batya, great book. I love this. I think this is so important. Just really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. I hope this book is such massive success.
Thank you so, so much for having me, Lisa, and for everything that you do. God bless you.
That was Batya Angarasargaan with her new book, Second Class, How the Elites Betrayed America's Working Men and Women. Just really interesting stuff. She's super nice, so smart. Always tune in when I see her on TV. So appreciate her for making the time every Monday and Thursday, but you can listen throughout the week. I want to thank John Cassio, my producer, for putting the show together. Until next time. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/Lisa to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/Lisa.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.